join me in spirit of prayer. Dear God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So what's going on here? John seems to be the poster boy for Advent. And John the Baptist is not necessarily what we would think of as a Christmas figure. When you think of the season, you may be thinking of angels singing, little baby in the manger. You may think of more secular images from TV shows that are on during the season. But John the Baptist, as I said last week, strikes us as being a figure out of Lent who's calling us to repent. Now, I'm going to tell you now, this is not going to be a sermon telling you that your death is coming. It is not a doom and gloom message. So why John? Well, if we read the gospel carefully, we see that John is very much a Christmas figure. We read the story of his birth, we read the story of his dedication, we read the story of his preaching to the people. And yes, John is calling on the people to repent, to turn over a new leaf. But why? Why? Because one greater than him is coming. Now think about that. John is not a politician. He's not the kind of figure who likes to go to rallies and talk and have everybody applaud and say he's the man or the woman of the hour. No, John wants to deflect the attention from himself to Jesus. And we know why he's excited, because Jesus is coming and Jesus is going to change things. Now, we can look at the state of our world and say that things are all messed up. Okay, but they don't have to be. And one of the gifts that Jesus brought us was the gift of agency, an ability to act and to change things. If you were wondering how you should worship God, how you should say, God, thank you for giving me my life and all the blessings in it, God is not looking for you to build him a newer, better sanctuary. God is not looking for you to pray in a certain way or to say a certain set of prayers. No. God is looking for you to take care of people, to do the right thing, to be ethically grounded. If you look at what John was saying to the people, he was telling them, if you're a tax collector, don't take more than you should. If you're a soldier, don't abuse your position. Now, that may sound strange to us today, but back in the first century, tax collectors were tax farmers. And if you study European history, you know how out of control that can get. John was telling them to stay in their lane, to do their jobs and to do them properly. The same for soldiers who weren't supposed to abuse the peasantry or the population. They were supposed to take their wages, do their jobs, and be satisfied. Now, as we get ready for Jesus to be born, we need to prepare ourselves. We need to get ready. And again, that doesn't mean coming to church and saying some prayers and singing some hymns or carols and then going on our merry way. We prepare ourselves by repentance. And yes, I'm going to call on all of you to engage in repentance today. Me too. We all need turn our lives around, to engage in what in Hebrew is called teshuvah, in Greek is metanoia, and that involves a literal changing of our direction. I know that that can sound kind of difficult to do at times, but if we don't do it, who will? If we don't reach out to our neighbors in the community, who will? I mentioned the open door ministry before. And that is a really important service that this church provides to the community. I can't stress the importance of that. You make that members of this church who were alive long ago and have left requests to us make that possible. But that's what the church is here for. We're not a social service agency. We are here witnessing to the love of God and to God's grace and God's power. And we do that by helping our neighbors. We do that by opening our sanctuary to outside groups that need places to meet to perform music. Do that by hanging the banner on our front door. And those things are noticed. That's what we're known for. And that is not a bad way for us to say we're people of God, we're trying to do God's work. So how would you have felt if you were in that crowd listening to John? How would you have felt when he called out, "You brood of vipers"? It's not a preaching technique that is recommended to us in divinity school. But John was calling people out. And they were willing to listen to him. Because these people had come out into the desert to hear him preach. And John didn't want them to fall back on any kind of historical legacy, saying so-and-so is our ancestor. What your forebears did may all be well and nice, but God is looking at the present generation. God is going to judge us by our actions and our priorities. And that's a pretty big objective. It's something that we all need to be ready for. And that's what we should be getting ready for as Christmas approaches. Now, this is going to be our second Christmas in this weird coronavirus environment. But this year, at least, we're all here in the sanctuary. And part of our congregation is joining us on Zoom. But that's the world we live in. And yes, we can do things differently. And we will continue to care for one another. And we'll continue to try to figure out how we can strengthen our ties with people who are here and people who are not. But for all of that, I say thank you. I say thank you to all of you. And I say thank you to God. Because it is the gospel message that should be the focus of our lives. It should be the focus of our energies and our attention. And it is something that we need to prepare ourselves for. I said this before, I'll say it again. Jesus has already been here more than 2,000 years ago. The event of his birth that we are working our way towards has happened. Jesus walked the earth, and he preached, and he taught, and he healed, and he did many amazing things that we're still talking about 2,000 years later. God came knowing what was going to happen. And Jesus' time on earth could be judged a failure. But we look at the sacrifice that Jesus made. God did that for us. That's the baby we're going to be celebrating in a couple of weeks. That is the God we hold up in worship every week. And that is the new world that is coming into being. A world that we can roll up our sleeves and help to build. This isn't some kind of social justice agenda. This is the words of Scripture. So, feeding the hungry, taking care of the poor and the widow, paying attention to the plight of prisoners, that is what we are called to do by Scripture. It is not a political agenda. Doing that is the work that God wants us to do. So, I know you've got lots of stuff to do in the run-up to Christmas, and I hope that all of your planning and preparation goes well. But I ask that you take some time to take care of God's people, to support the church in its work, and to support the people here who do that work. So it might sound strange, but I'm telling you to rejoice. And again, we don't have a big feast with a fat calf and wine, but we rejoice by doing the work that God calls us to do. And as I said in one of my Advent reflections, I quoted Senator Bob Dole, who had said before he died that every day he tries to make somebody's life a little bit better. That's not a bad thing to do. That's not a bad aspiration for us to have. So let's all try to do that. Let's all try to be faithful and joyful, and we can revel in the love of God, knowing it's not just for us, but that God loves all people, that everyone out there is our brother and sister, that all of us are created by God. Would you please join me in the spirit of prayer? Holy and gracious God, we thank you for the gift of Jesus, whose birth changed the world, whose example has changed the world. In his name we pray. Amen.